Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. I'm very excited. Episode 7, lucky number 7.
This is where it all comes together.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. That music you heard, first off, before I forget, like I did the first 6 episodes, that music is by Steve Connolly. So I'm Alan Attridge, and with me is...
Adam Schwartz from Vancouver, Canada.
And I'm from Tübingen, Germany. And the music from Steve Connolly is from Sydney, Australia. That's where that comes from.
And if you don't like the photo show, at least listen to the music, because the music is worth listening to.
It is somewhat catchy. Do you know what a portmanteau is?
No.
It's like when you put two words together to form one word. Like when two of the stars... Who are two of the stars that date each other and it becomes one word?
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Brangelina.
Right. Geek test. Right there. Geek test. That's a portmanteau.
Did I pass or fail?
Oh, you failed, my friend. Yeah. So that's a portmanteau, and so Steve Connolly has become Scones over the years. So,
isn't that a nickname?
Yeah, but technically it's Steve Connolly Sconley Scones.
No, I think the geek test is the fact that you brought up the word portmanteau. I would have just called that a nickname.
Yeah, but you learned something today, so. Let's not make me the geek on this one. You said Brangelina. I have it on tape. Do you know Steve?
No, I think I've met him, but I can't put a face to the Scones nickname.
I think there was a crossover. That was the crossover point when you were coming in as he was going out of the group. We only had room for one more. And so there was like, I guess, that 3 or 4 years where you were trying to get in. And Steve ended up moving to Australia in like 2005, and so room opened up.
Oh.
And that was it. And we made a horrible error, and but...
You can't get him back now, though.
No. We knew he was gone, but it was, you know, came down to you and a couple other guys to get in the group, and...
Was one of them the homeless guy behind your apartment building?
Kurt Ferguson made a strong pitch.
Yeah, literally.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. This is you know what? This might be a teaser. I don't think we have time to tell the whole story. But the teaser part of the story is back in the day, which was probably about 2005, 2006. I had to pay a homeless man $5 to quit using my building as a bathroom.
Hence the name Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson. Yeah. That was good times. $5 well spent, though.
Yeah.
You are not going to spend a better $5 than paying a homeless guy to quit using the wall. Anyway, so focus.
Stay focused.
Last week, we talked about focus, and I'm going to tell you, I don't think it was that well done.
No, it wasn't. I listened to it, and I still have no idea what we were talking about.
I forgot stuff. I walked around. I took some blurry photos this week, which is a lie. I took no photos, but I took a few. I took a few photos. Anyways, so let's do a quick rehash of what is focus. But first of all, we didn't address what is the worst. Oh man, I don't even know how to start this. When you take a bad picture, why is a picture bad?
If you can't make out what you're looking at?
Unsharp.
Unsharp, okay.
Unsharp pictures are a likely culprit. That's the one of the biggest things that you biggest mistakes you make as a new person. I was going to say newbie, but I'm kind of tired of that. So when you're just starting out, you end up making a lot of unsharp photos. Now, there's many different reasons why, but one of the main ones is focus, getting your pictures out of focus. So first off, focus real quick. Let's power through this like that train from Unstoppable till the very end where P.S.
Gets stopped.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Anyways, so focus is a function of distance. That's how that works. It's how far away something is. And then, so let's see, focus on it. It's 4 feet away. It moves into 2 feet away. It's now going to be out of focus. So you got to refocus. Whew. Okay, let's move on. How does autofocus work? Well, guess what? There's plenty of different modes that you can use. But for now, just use the one shot. What's it called? One shot?
Yeah, one shot.
There's all kinds of servo things, and those are awesome. But that's down the road. So let's just don't worry about that. For right now, we're going to use just your one-shot autofocus. Adam, what are some reasons that autofocus might fail?
Maybe it's too dark where you're taking a picture.
Maybe it's too dark. So make sure you take pictures when it's lighter out. But you don't always have a choice. So what ends up happening is your camera, it has to also see in order to focus. So if it's too dark, it has trouble detecting an edge to focus on, and therefore it'll do something that we call hunting, which is when it goes back and forth and back and forth looking for something to focus on, and you never ever focus on anything. That's no fun.
No, that's not fun at all.
That's likely because it's too dark, and now the camera manufacturers have something to sort of combat this. Nikon has a little focus assist something, a light that it shoots out that helps it focus. The Canon has the really, really horrible, the pop-up flash. It sends that little pulse of light out that scares the crap out of everybody. I'm not a big fan of that one.
Reminds me of machine gun fire.
It is, well, yeah. So there's that. It's likely too dark. So that's one thing. If maybe you know, get a little bit more light. It doesn't need as much light as it used to need to autofocus. Autofocus is pretty awesome. I use it all the time, as I mentioned last week. I forget what I mentioned last week because it was just a rambling nonsense. At some point, we were reading from James Joyce. I don't know. I don't know what Ulysses had to do with any of it, but anyways, what are focus points? That I think was kind of the unclear and yet really important part.
Well, I think your camera has a number built in, and the number can have a wide range, but you can... We were talking about last week, you can set the point, if you read your manual, to any one singular point of the list that are available. And you mentioned that in your experience, the center point is the easiest and also the best. So you can just select one point, and you don't need to use the 9 or 22 or 48 points that might be available on the camera.
But even more simply, that's a word, right? More simply?
Sure.
More simpler? Boy, mehr einfach. That's in auf Deutsch. That's probably more. Anyways, I want to cut out the part where I'm a pretentious guy. Anyways, what is a focus point? Like when you say you have many points. Really basic. What is a focus point?
It's the little red dot that when you're looking through your camera eyepiece that you can select to control what you're trying to keep in focus.
So on that point, so you have all those like either 7 or like 115, like it gets out of hand how many they have. And some of them are good. But you have all these different little points in the frame that your camera will use and select as that object. Whatever object it happens to see lining up with that point, it's going to focus distance-wise on that particular subject or object.
Correct.
So that's what we're talking about with focus points. And so what ends up happening is your camera looks through there and out of all the, let's say, 20 focus points, determines that, oh, okay, this one off to the right, that's the one that Adam wants to focus on. So it focuses on that, when really, there was one on the far left that you wanted to focus on. And now, because it's a subject of distance, the camera has focused on the tree way in the background. And now your lovely daughter is out of focus.
You don't want that.
You do not want that. Unless you want that, and then good for you. But in this case, that's not what we're looking for. So the way I get around that, and I put a new video on our website. It's actually the same video, just updated into high definition. Explaining how I get around, how most people get around this, is to you can set your camera to only use certain focus points. And I only ever use one. Almost always use the one. So I disable the other ones. I tell my camera, just use the center one only. I then focus on my subject by placing my subject in the middle of the frame, behind that focus point, focus the camera, lock the focus down, recompose, take the picture, bam. Everybody wins.
Sounds easy enough.
Yes, and the video on our on last week's blog, last week's page, I'm making it really confusing because we have blogs, we have Twitters, we have podcasts.
T-shirts, coffee mugs.
Toques, or as the rest of the world knows them, that hat that Brad Pitt wears in the summer. Anyway, last question about focus. When you're taking pictures of people, and we're doing the focus recompose method, where do you focus?
On the eyes.
Now, is that a hard, fast rule?
It doesn't have to be. I just think that we covered the fact that pictures look better when the eyes are in focus.
Wrong, Adam. It's a hard, fast rule.
What does that mean?
They will kick you out of photography if you do not follow that rule.
Okay.
It's not a rule. It's all the rules they talk about, the rules of photography, which we'll get into. And they're not really rules. There's no rules.
Guidelines?
I thought we all... Guidelines, yeah. Suggestions? I think we all got into this to avoid responsibility.
Yeah.
So, I was almost famous. And so, when we talk about rules, I'm going to try to use a different word every time when we talk about, like, the rule of thirds. Spoiler alert, that's coming up later. And it's not really a rule. It's a suggestion about, hey, here's what we've decided looks good. Why don't you work within this or work outside of it if you prefer? But that's a starting point. Okay, so focus is now clear, locked down. Everyone's going to get some sharp pictures. There's other reasons why your pictures won't be sharp.
What are they?
And we'll get to that. We'll get to them.
Okay.
We're going to build up. Later on in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about composition. Just to get people started down that road as well, and combining the stuff that we've learned, aperture, shutter speed, focus, and some composition, to get out there and start taking some good photos. And then soon we will deal with what are some of the other reasons that make your pictures unsharp. For now, just focus. Let's move on. What did you shoot this week? I saw your blog, man. You shot a lot of stuff this week.
We haven't posted any of the stuff that we shot on the weekend, but I haven't even uploaded them or checked them out. But I took some pictures at the local skating rink, which posed a few challenges because we had two young children on the ice and they're constantly moving and I'm on skates, constantly moving. So taking a picture, an in-focus picture, while both the photographer and the subjects are moving is difficult, considering the lighting isn't great, so I need a flash. which makes it even more difficult. So the bottom line is, I don't know if anything turned out, but I will check it, and any of the good ones will be posted on my wife's blog.
I look forward to that. That's one of the things I miss. I haven't been to the rink in a long time when I was, you know, living back in Vancouver. But it's the kind of thing I miss where, you know, when I was a kid, I used to pop down to the ice rink and go for the public skate.
Yeah, we go Sundays. We go almost every Sunday for public skating. And then after public skating, we watch whoever is playing in one of the other rinks, because there's six rinks there. So we do the first skating and then watch children's hockey.
Do they still have the all men's skate and play set to the Jay Giles freeze frame?
Not that I know of.
Man, poor Jay Giles band. That was their bread and butter from my childhood. My favorite part was when they would do the next skate is all men's skate. Yeah, all men's skate in the regular direction. So that all the women had to the women had to leave the ice. And then all the guys, and back in those days, I don't know if it's still like that, it was crowded.
Oh, no.
There was a lot of people there.
It's pretty quiet.
Every one of those guys, it would either be the Jay Giles band Freeze Frame or Wipeout by the Safaris. And every single guy out there was trying out for the Vancouver Canucks. It was just mayhem.
Now, to clarify, we're going to the children's skate, so it's mostly parents and children skating. The family skate. Yeah, I think they call it the family skate.
The family skate. I don't think we had that. I think when I was a kid, you were just thrown in, and it was like sink or swim, man. You're going to get run over. Which I did, actually. I actually ended up, some lady, this is true, some lady when I was like probably five, I had fallen over. She couldn't get out of the way or didn't get out of the way, kicked me in the face with her skate, cut my lip wide open. I actually was, like, my mouth was cut wide open, and I had to go get stitches, and still have the scar today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wish it was something cooler than getting kicked in the face by a lady, but... So anyway, that was what we took pictures of this week. I'm going to check out your blog when they're up. I saw your other pictures and your videos and stuff, and they were excellent.
Thank you.
As usual.
Thank you.
We got an email from George, no last name, so maybe it is his last name. I don't know. Probably not. From George, and it's in reference to our discussion last week about what were we talking about?
Slideshows, I think.
Slideshows.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was slideshows. We had a question from Folker, asked a question about how to make slideshows on iLife. And now, George, Folker specifically asked about iLife, which is only available on the Mac. But that leads us into this question. George says, do you guys really have... Should I read all of this?
Yeah, read it.
George, first of all, this is our first angry email. So in some regards, I kind of feel like we've arrived. I don't know if that was your intention. But... do you guys really have so many listeners that you can alienate the 95% of computer users who don't have Macs?
Okay, wait. If that's the end of the question, the answer is no. No, we don't.
No. No. Although, this is what the funny part is, the bulk of our initial listeners, meaning our parents and two of our friends, all had Macs. So, yeah. In that regard, the answer, week number one, the answer was yes. Yes, we could. Now, no. George, you make a good point. No, we cannot. Okay, with the obnoxious, stuck-up, superior attitude so typical of Mac bigots.
Okay, wait. Did this guy get beat up by someone carrying a Mac bag or something?
I don't think anyone carrying a Mac bag could beat up anybody.
Good point. Finish it off.
Yeah. I understand your feelings about Apple products, but try not to be jerks about it. Most of us are not going to switch to Macs no matter what you say. Well, you did, Adam.
That's true. I'm weak-willed.
Well, perhaps. Yes. Does that mean we shouldn't listen to your podcast? The answer is no. Of course you should listen to the podcast. There'll be, I don't think there'll be that much Mac talk.
No, there really won't.
Well, if you continue to insult and belittle us, we probably won't. Okay, and skipping ahead. Otherwise, not bad for hosers, which I thought that's the part that I liked the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, all right.
Sounds like he's still going to listen, too, so.
Well, until now, apparently. Until we push him over the edge. I hope not. So, yeah.
So what was the actual question there? Like, I'm not sure. Was there a question?
Yeah, do you guys have enough listeners to be jerks?
Okay.
Which, that's...
The answer is no.
No. And should we stop listening to your podcast? The answer, no.
Okay.
Continue to listen. I think I'm just looking through the email for question marks because really I'm going to commend George on his, basically his punctuation. Everything's capitalized properly. The punctuation is bang on, which is in the days of the, no, I'm not making fun of him. In the days of the internet, emails and stuff, it is all over the map now. People don't punctuate anything, and he's actually used question marks where they should be question marks.
Maybe
so,
maybe it's Bill Gates who wrote that email.
It's likely. But then wouldn't it also be with an offer if I forwarded it to five people, I'd get $80,000? That's the last email I got from Bill Gates.
And did you forward it?
Yes.
80 grand?
Fingers crossed.
Okay.
Still waiting. Yeah, so let's address that really quick. Actually try to address some of that. Are we Mac? I don't know, bigot's kind of a strong word.
Snobs. I think Mac snobs. Yeah.
Are we Mac snobs?
I definitely am a Mac snob.
As am I. I'm not going to deny that I'm a Mac snob. I'm not going to stop being a Mac snob.
I don't mean to come off as a jerk about it, but I am definitely a Mac snob. I can't apologize. It's against my moral fibers to apologize for that. That's just who I am.
You're a man.
Yeah.
That's what men do. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they deflect. Maybe you're being a snob, huh? I've been a Mac snob for quite some time. But that kind of is a negative thing too. I'm a Mac fan. There's a fine line, and I think the line is: have you ever waited in line to get into an Apple store?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I. What are some of the other behavior typical of Mac snobs?
I have put stickers on water bottles.
Yeah, I've done that too. I've early on to the point where I was like, not right away either, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to waste my sticker.
But it's not really our fault that we don't want to waste good stickers that they put with all their products.
They are good stickers. Do you? Okay, here's this might be the ultimate definition. Do you have a Apple sticker on your automobile?
No, I don't.
Okay. I think you're not really as big of a Mac snob as others then.
I definitely have convinced several family members and friends to buy Macs though.
Yes.
So.
Now, the in all honesty, George, if you're still listening, I'm not anti-PC. I'm not... Hey, the Mac is the greatest, and it's like there's problems with the Mac and blah blah blah. It's a computer, and really, I'm not going to defend it that strongly. It's a tool, blah blah blah, and all that nonsense. I don't have Apple stock. I really don't care. At the end of the day, and so there are stuff. The only issue is that when people ask us questions, I've exclusively used a Mac. For 7-8 years now, I've not even touched a PC. And
I'm about the same. I'm about the same, about 7 years.
Yeah. So my perspective, I can't really offer any insight in how to create slideshows on a PC. Now, logic would dictate that there are plenty of programs to accomplish this on a PC. Our point was that PowerPoint was not one of those programs.
Right.
And that was not so much a PC versus a Mac rant as a, wow, PowerPoint looks bad.
Yes.
The same version for Apple is called Keynote, and actually it looks pretty awesome. it can do no wrong. I don't use that either. So George, does that answer your question? Yes, please keep listening. Adam will stop being a jerk. I feel like I've been kind of awesome about it all the way along.
True. So
there's that. So we will try to be more even-handed and less Mac. That's not a lie. We're going to still be Mac-centric.
Yeah.
So, but no, you should not just sell your PC and buy a Mac. Wow. Okay.
All right.
That brings us to next week's conversation. This week's topic, composition.
What is it?
I don't know. What is composition?
I don't know. What you decide to keep in your photo?
Pretty much. How do you compose your photo? At this point, now that you've learned all these skills?
Yeah.
I don't know. I forgot what to call them. To be completely honest with you, it's early in the morning for me, so I don't know what to call it. So you've basically learned all these other skills. You've put them to work, and now we want to start making pictures. We don't want to just snap pictures of what's going on. We want to actually kind of want to start to form our own photographs and decide what we're keeping in, what we're throwing away, and so we're actually going to compose them, and that's what composition means. What's in your frame? What's out? How does it look? So the first thing that this is the first tip I give everybody, whether you have a point and shoot or a digital SLR or you're drawing a picture. My first tip I always give is fill the frame with what?
Whatever the subject of your photograph is.
Whatever the subject of your photograph is. Oftentimes you see a lot of these, especially on vacation. You see, here I am in front of the, I don't know, pick something.
The Louvre.
The Louvre. I was going to say Champs-Élysées. Wow. Now we're being pretentious.
How about the Eiffel Tower?
All of it in France.
How about the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Brandenburg Gate is what I was looking for.
Okay.
Anyway, so you're in front of something, and then you are that little speck. Now, in that situation, maybe your subject is the Brandenburg Gate, and so fine. But you see so many people's pictures where they are so small in the picture. And it's really unclear what we're taking the picture of. So get in close. If you're taking a picture of a person, make sure that person dominates the frame. Make sure we cut out all the other things. And I'll post a link to a previous blog post about it, which I think it was a dump truck. What was I taking a picture of? A toy dump truck.
In a sandbox, yeah.
So that's my big thing. Fill the frame with your subject. Does that have you ever used that?
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes I don't do a good enough job in the actual picture, but then I crop it to be what I want.
Cropping after, yes. That's that's one of the awesome things about digital photography is the ability to crop later easily.
Yeah.
But what we want you to do, don't use that as a fallback. I mean, you use it as a fallback, but don't use it as your main tool.
Right.
We want you to take good pictures in the camera.
Yes, definitely.
So there's that. But yes, I still crop, of course, because that's down the road. So fill the frame. Make sure we know what you're taking a picture of, first of all. This to me is the biggest adjustment people can make to start taking better photographs. This is one of the big jumps between what you look at snapshots and really, really good snapshots is headroom. Headroom on with amateur photographers is usually ample.
So they don't want to cut the head off.
People don't want to, not only do they not want to cut the head off, but usually you find out the person is dead center in the picture, and there's a good half of the picture is all headroom. And that's doesn't really look good. There's very few times, now there's a few examples on my website where I have plenty of headroom, but not many. If you go ahead and look at my portfolio, alanatridge.com, you'll see there's a lot of the pictures. I think you can see some good examples of some headroom. I hope. I haven't checked. I'm going to go double check before I post this. The best way to do this is to look at movies. Watch movies and watch what they do for headroom. Because they generally get it right. So, is there any rules that you can think of? And there's that word again, the R word. Any rules you can think of for headroom?
No.
No. Okay. Well, in terms of, you don't want to cut people's heads off, that's for sure. You don't want to clip the top of their head off necessarily. So if we have kind of a wider shot, let's say we have a, we'll learn about a couple of different shots today. We're going to learn, they call it, I guess, sort of the medium shot. Or a cowboy. You know what a cowboy shot is?
No.
Really?
No.
I thought I would have bored you with this before.
No.
Cowboy shot goes way back to the old movie-making days. Not the old movie-making days. But when they would ever shoot movies with cowboys, they wanted to make sure to get their guns in the shot. On their holsters, right?
Yeah.
So the shot would be wide enough, so the shot would start just below their hips and go up and include their hat.
Right.
And so that sort of medium shot became known as the cowboy. Okay, line us up for a... Even if you weren't shooting a cowboy movie,
right,
it was still called a cowboy.
Okay.
So when you're shooting that shot, now you want to leave a little bit of headroom. Not a lot, but enough that we can see, okay, great, there's a little bit of room above that person's head. As we move in and get closer into a close-up, don't be afraid to cut the head off at that point. That's one mistake that people often make with close-ups, is they don't want to cut the head off. But it's not like you don't have to do it every time, but it's okay to do that.
Sometimes the pictures look better.
Yes. I just want the main thing to take away from headroom is to be aware of it. And to basically tilt down or zoom in. Try to eliminate your headroom. And that's going to tie back to the first point with fill the frame. It's going to tie together with that. It's going to make you fill the frame. So that's composition. That was actually a lot shorter than I was expecting.
Except we spent a long time in the lead up to it, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, it's going to work out. I wasn't worried about time.
But I think the best way to learn about composition and is to look at examples. So hopefully we'll have a couple of visual examples either on your blog or on the Hoser's website, because it makes a lot more sense about headroom anyways when you can see a few visual examples.
Sure.
You had mentioned or teased the rule of thirds, but you never actually said what it was.
I think we're going to get into that next week.
Okay.
I'm going to avoid, but there's a lot of rules so far in this episode, so we're going to spread those rules out. So next week, we will deal with the rule of thirds. That's what's going to end up happening, episode 8, rule of thirds, which again, not really a rule, but that'll play in to our there's a lot of elements of composition is all I'm saying, and let's just tackle a few at a time. So for this week, focus on filling the frame. Consciously go out there and get in close to your subject. That's what we want to do. Whether it's zooming or moving in with your feet, whichever it is, try something different. Get in nice and close.
Sounds good.
And be conscious of the headroom. And I'm gonna go out and we're gonna post some examples of what headroom should look like or what looks good. I have a challenge for you.
For me?
For you. Yes. This is the new segment on the show, tentatively called I Dare You.
Okay.
It's like truth or dare, but I don't care about the truth. I just want the dare.
Okay.
So the homework, it's really homework. It's a challenge. And every week, here's what I propose we do is we issue the other person a challenge along the lines of, I challenge you to get a picture of, and then you name something, and that's what happens.
And then we post it?
And we post it. And we post it, and we have a little showdown every week about who can best meet that other person's challenge.
Okay.
So this week, what I challenge you, and I don't know if you've thought of this ahead of time, so if you don't have one for me, that's great. No problem. My challenge for you is I want you to take a picture of either your son or your daughter.
Yeah.
Or both. And the picture should convey motion.
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 Not, that's my not challenge. Not emotion, just motion.
Motion. There's movement.
Okay.
Kinetic behavior.
Okay.
That's the challenge. So that's the challenge for next week. We want to see that.
Can I issue you a challenge?
Maybe.
I want you to take a picture on roller skates of someone else on roller skates.
On roller skates of someone else on roller skates.
Yeah. And they can't be standing still. They got to be moving. And you have to be moving.
Challenge accepted.
The reason was because I found it very difficult on skates while moving to take pictures of other people on skates. So I want to see how you make out in the same situation or a similar situation.
Okay. Okay, challenge accepted.
All right.
But hey, roller skates in the snow, this is going to be a great photo. We'll get some pictures of that person at the emergency ward as well with the broken leg. Okay. So that's I Dare You. So look for those on the website. I'll post those next week and see how we did.
Okay.
And what we'll end up doing potentially is taking listener suggestions on different challenges that we could do.
Make his harder because you're the professional photographer.
But if we get one from a listener, then it'll be for both of us.
Okay.
So that's that.
All right.
That is episode 7, 8, and 9, apparently.
And where can we find your stuff?
You can find us at twohosers.com as always, which is maybe where you found us as it is. You can see my personal stuff at alanattridge.com or alanattridge.de. You can send us an email, questions at twohosers, but there's a link on our site. And lastly, twohosers, at twohosers on Twitter, which you've actually starting to use a lot more now. But so that's where you can find me and us. But where can you find Adam?
My wife's blog, schwartzchronicles.com.
And until next week, this is Alan and Adam. Adam.
Adam.
What? Telling you to.
I'm not saying it.
What? Fine. Until next week, this is Alan telling you for Adam, go make better pictures.